Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Take Two Radio. I'm Pam, your host, and with me tonight I have Dawn, my co-host. Hello, Dawn.
Hello, Pam.
How are you?
Well, I'm great because it's Friday, the weekend is here, it is, and I worked all day, so yeah, I'm good. 5:01 in my car, I was good, so yeah, and I'm sure a lot of people out there can probably relate.
I know,
so, yeah,
right?
I'm really good. Mm-hmm. And how are you this evening?
I'm doing well. I'm just kind of, well, confused or put off, or I don't even know how to explain it because we did have a guest tonight, but I don't believe she's well enough to join us. I did see a tweet earlier saying that she had the flu, but not quite sure why I wasn't contacted. So,
yeah.
We'll go on with the show. We have a lot to talk about. We're going to introduce you to our sub-co-hosts that we have, and we're going to talk about soaps. We're going to talk about updates that we have on our website and where you can listen to our show, and we're just going to chit-chat. How's that sound?
It sounds like, well, you know me, I'm never at a loss for words, very seldom, so bring it on, I say, bring it on.
Right? Okay, well, we're going to start, and we're going to bring our first sub-co-host, and his name is Dom, and Dom is the guru of soaps. Welcome, Dom.
Pam, my friend, you flatter me. Hello, everybody.
Yeah. Well, it's true. Anybody wants to know about a soap, ask Dom. He knows it all, and he does it well.
And I want to thank you guys for letting me on, especially on today, because today is all my children's 43rd birthday.
Yeah, and that's sad.
Well, it is, but with everyone, with all the hoopla about Prospect Park or whatever, this is considering their history, I am hesitant to put my support in towards them, but I will give the devils their due. They are going forward. They're doing a lot more this time than they did when they got the rights in the first place. They're actually contacting people, making deals with the WGA, hiring producers and stuff. Until the show comes back, I still don't think it's something that's going to happen. I think something's going to happen to make it not go down, but I could be wrong, and I hope I am wrong. So I'm being cautious here. But again,
yeah.
I'm giving the devil their due because they are doing a lot more now than they did the last time.
That's for sure. And I also, you know, have been burned just as well as everybody else, and that counted on All My Children, One Life to Live coming back. But I'm just going to play the wait and see game.
As am I, as anyone should, as they should be, yes.
I've been seeing, you know, where they, well, just as recent as just a couple of days ago, I saw something on a, in the news, the blog or something, I can't remember where I saw it, quite frankly, and I apologize for that, but that the executive producers had been hired. And, gosh, you would hope that it is serious and that they have every intention of bringing it back if they're going that far. What do you think?
I agree. I mean, they've already struck a deal with Hulu, which locks out everybody who lives in Canada, sadly. They've announced they're going to shrink the shows back to a half hour, both AMC and One Life, and shoot in Stamford. Like I said, they're going a lot farther with this than they were with the last time. But again, you have to be cautious with them because of the way we were burned a year ago. So until I hear the opening twang of the AMC theme song, or until I hear the opening beats of that god-awful 1995-2012 One Life to Live theme, bring back the boat, I'm not gonna believe for a second they're coming back. But again, I give the devils their due.
Yeah. That's all you can do, you know. When I post on our Facebook page for Take Two Radio, I put on one of the posts. I said, "Thank you for not shooting the messenger." You know, I'm just putting up here what I'm seeing. That's all, you know, because I know a lot of people feel the way we do. That's all we can do.
Yeah. Anyways, Well, I need to apologize in advance if there are times where I'm at a loss for words. Usually when I'm on a podcast, I'm only given like 10 minutes to ask the guest any questions as I could fit to that time.
We invited you last minute, but as, you know, we didn't know for sure if our guest was showing up or not, so.
I'm not usually in a position to where I'm able to talk for 2 hours, so.
Yeah.
So you forget, but I do have a lot of, but they're right about one thing. Let me explain a little something about me. I have a form of autism called Asperger's syndrome. And in addition to the usual social interaction issues one would come from autism, I also have the ability to take in a lot of knowledge. For those who don't know my story, I became a fan of soap operas in April 2009 with a little show called Guiding Light. Specifically, the characters of Olivia and Natalia. Now, it was just one day, I was just flipping through the dial, I came across Crystal Chappelle and Jessica Lucia, and I was just hooked from there. Unfortunately, as I said, that was April of 2009, and that show ended in September of 2009, so I was a little late to the party. But there, I after that show ended, I kind of drifted away from it, thinking, okay, so I didn't think that soap operas were dying out as fast as they were, because I wasn't a fan.
Mm-hmm.
But we flash forward 2 years later to the end of All My Children and One Life to Live, and when that really took me back, I'm like, they're going? Huh, might as well check them out. So September 23rd, 2011, the final episode of All My Children rolled around, and I taped it. Yes, at the time, I still used videotapes. I have a DVD recorder now. I'm up to date in the modern technology, by God.
I think we all, I mean, I myself, too, have been the same way. I had VHS whatever I had. I don't even know. But I had it for a long time, and now I have a DVR, so yes.
Anyway, well, I got DVR, VHS, cable box, antenna, converter box, the whole works. Anyways.
Oh, my God.
I have a full entertainment system. But what happened was I taped the final episode and played it back, and I liked what I saw. And I knew that there were episodes on YouTube. So I checked out some of them. And what really specifically drew me in was a lady by the name of Eden Regal. Now, we all know that lady, her talent is unmatched. She is, without question, one of the greats. And I will go so far as to say, and this is a bold statement, but I will go so far as to say that from the time she debuted in July of 2000 to, I believe, the tail end of 2002, that two-year stretch, and again, this is just my opinion. Feel free to disagree with me. I think she and Susan Lucci carried the damn show on their backs.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. With the writers we had. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you had the coming out. You had the whole thing with Vanessa. You had the libido zone. You had these things going on. But at the same time, the focal point of most of the storylines evolved around her, around Erica and Bianca. And, I mean, Christmas 2000, her coming out, saying I'm gay, that is still one of the most memorable scenes in all soap operas. So, I think that two-year stretch, they really carried the show on their backs, but it wasn't just Eden herself that drew me in. It was a lady by the name of Elizabeth Hendrickson. Now, most of you know her as Chloe Mitchell on The Young and the Restless, but she got her start first playing a character on AMC named Frankie, and she was just introduced as she was basically introduced as just a temporary character to serve as a means to an end in a murder storyline. But the chemistry between her and Eden Regal was so intense and so amazing that when the character Frankie was killed off, that they wanted to bring her back, so they came up with the character of Maggie, Frankie's twin. And as I'm talking to you, I'm actually have another call coming in, so I'm going to duck out for a bit, and I'll join you guys in a few minutes.
Okay, no problem, because we're going to talk about other stuff, too, in the meantime.
All right, I'll join you in a second.
All right.
Sure thing.
Okay, well, what we could do is we can talk about our updates as far as our website goes and how else they can listen to our show and all that good stuff.
Yes, we can. We have lots to talk about because now I can talk because I'll just preface the listeners by saying I grew up a CBS soap fan. So I probably know more about All My Children, One Life to Live, the ABC and NBC soaps now, probably from knowing you and some of the people that I've met on Twitter within the last year, Pam. So kudos to you for enlightening me. But yeah, I mean, before that, I had kind of like, you know, the blinders on, just the tunnel vision. It was just all CBS. There was no other soaps to watch. So, so if there is a lot of talk about the other network soaps, if I don't chime in, you know, it's just because I don't want to appear ignorant because I really don't know. But anyway, so what I can talk about, though, is stuff I do know something about. And it's all the great stuff that's going on our website of late. I have been really busy this week updating and adding some brand new pages and content to our website, take2radio.com. You can feel free to go there and navigate anytime you wish because there's always new content being added. It's constantly being updated. We like to keep it as up-to-date as possible. And so but one of the exciting pages that I've recently added is our partnerships page. We have kind of joined forces with a couple different partners, business partners out there that, you know, through one form or fashion, we have been able to make some connections with, and they're doing some great things in their respective businesses and you know, are just immensely helpful when it comes to, you know, spurring us on and guiding us in the right direction, so to speak. You know, and so if you get a chance to go to that page, check it out. One of the partners that I want to highlight at the moment is Panito PR. It's run by Suzanne Panito. She's a publicist and a writer, and she reps a lot of people, and she is just a sweetheart. And so if you get a chance, go to the website. I've linked all of their sites you know, our page there, and you can find out more about them. But also, Soap Opera Socialite Productions is run by Jason and Brynn, and they're just delightful people to know in general. And so they are really doing some great things for the soaps and soap fans, so check them out. And then The Globe, which is headed by Editor-in-Chief Jeffrey Rodak. And he's a great friend of Pam and I. And so, if you know, like I said, just invite you to go there.
He's a great friend to all the soap people, especially All My Children and One Life to Live, because The Globe has been with us since near the beginning of our fight to save those soaps and has reported in The Globe almost weekly. So they have been phenomenal in their support, and we fully support them.
Yes,
indeed.
Definitely. And, you know, you don't find too many, you know, written publications that, you know, unless it is like the Soap Opera Digest or one of the soap, you know, publications tailored for that, but just an all-encompassing publication that will actually, that has embraced the soap genre the way The Globe has. So, you know, kudos to Jeff and his team for, you know, going the extra mile to try and save those soaps because, you know, it's not just them that are fans, it's the fans of the soaps themselves that, you know, have really been put through the ringer with the loss of those soaps. You know, and I can speak from being a CBS fan and losing God's Light and As Warm Turns. So, you know, it would be, I really, you know, even though you and Dom were talking at the beginning of the show about, you know, the Prospect Park and you're really trying not to get too excited too soon, I'm really cheering for you guys, and I really hope it becomes a reality, you know, for everybody who loves those two soaps dearly. Because what I hope it also helps is I hope that it will in some way encourage, you know, the ownership of, you know, Guiding Light and As World Turns to kind of follow suit. And hopefully someone will get the bright idea that that needs to happen. So,
right.
Because, you know, we would love to see those actors put back to work in their original character roles as well, and the storylines just recreated. So that would be awesome. So I will keep my
fingers crossed. Yeah, we don't want to reboot with different characters, you know, different actors playing the characters, that's for sure. It just would not be the same. And I highly doubt that any dedicated All My Children or One Life to Live viewer would embrace that.
No, they wouldn't. It would be a mute point. I mean, there would be no point in that even happening, if that was okay.
Yeah, I agree.
So,
I agree with that, too. As a matter of fact, there were rumors when this whole process thing started last year that they were going to move the shows to Canada and hire a whole stack of new people. I'm like, you do that, and you might as well just not even do it at all. I don't think that I wouldn't, if this thing goes down, I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't pick up where they left off. They kind of jumped forward ahead in time. But, I mean, look, if they can't get everybody, they can't get everybody. That's
right.
What it is. That's all well and good. But, yeah, you should try to get as much of the cast as you can. I mean, you can't get Jacob Young because he's on Bold and Beautiful, right?
Right.
And besides. But then again, you know, we didn't see who JR shot in the final episode, so it could just easily explain that he turned a gun on himself. That's just an example. You know, Darnell
right.
Williams is on Y&R. So unless the oh-so-wonderfully vaunted Jill Van Phelps decides to fire him, which, considering who we're talking about, I wouldn't be that surprised. You won't see Jesse there. You might see Angie, because they're more than free, but you won't see both of them.
Dom, I was thinking that, Jesse, or what is Darnell? I was thinking that Darnell was gone from Y&R. I didn't realize he was still on Y&R.
Last time I checked, I could be wrong, but last time I checked, he was. It's kind of interesting if you're thinking about it, that we do have a lot of former All My Children cast members on Y&R. You have Amelia Henley, you have Melissa Claire Egan, you've got Elizabeth Hendrickson, you had Debbie Morgan, you have Darnell Williams. I just find that to be kind of an interesting coincidence.
Yeah, exactly. I think so, too. And, you know, and they're all kind of in a role with the exception of, you know, Debbie Morgan. But even Regal, you know, they could pick her back up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's not on Y&R now. And
I don't really, all due respect, I'm sorry to keep interrupting. It's just I'm excited to
okay.
talk. All due respect to Eden Regal, but if AMC is going to be filmed in Stamford, I really don't see that happening. I could see Christina Bennett Lynn coming back as Bianca, but I don't really see Eden Regal coming back.
Yeah.
So, I don't want to monopolize the time with my whole story, but I do want to just quickly finish what I was saying. It was Elizabeth Henderson, Eden Regal, who made me fans of All My Children. That pairing of the characters Bianca and Maggie, those were the ones that really drew me in, and I fell with their storyline, their ups and downs, and it was very compelling. Thing is, they didn't actually get together when they were first cast members on the show. They had a 2-year courtship that kind of ended when in some convoluted series of events, Bianca was caught in bed with another woman. And Maggie, that's the other character's name, Maggie, fell into the arms of an abusive man who actually, in a funny bit of coincidence, is played by a man who she would go on to make out with a lot on Y&R, Jeff Branson, when he's
Oh, wow, that's crazy. So
yeah, there's a lot of things flowing around on YouTube of Jeff Branson played a character named Jonathan, and Jonathan had an abusive relationship with Maggie. So if you remember that, and then see Ronan and Chloe on AMC making out and being lovey-dovey, that's quite a juxtaposition there.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
And it just goes to show how great actors and actresses that they can be to play the varying roles, you know, on the different soaps as well. So that's
indeed.
That's really. But if you've been a diehard fan of a particular soap and then you learn that they're, you know, your favorite character or your favorite actor or actress is on a different soap and you see them completely out of the character that you're used to seeing them in, it is weird. You know, it's just it's really odd. And you're like, wait a minute, they're not supposed to be doing that or saying that. You know, they're supposed to be this way. So, it is a little bit weird.
it's the same with me. I'm not a Y&R fan. I only watched briefly when Eden Regal was on. And to see her kiss another guy when you're used to her spending 10 years playing an out lesbian, you know, that's a bit jarring. That's a bit jarring, too. But they are the reason I became a fan of AMC. And then from there, I started watching One Life to Live, and I became a fan of that show, specifically a man by the name of Roger Howarth, or as I should say, Paul Ryan on As the World Turns.
Mm-hmm.
And his acting skills are amazing. So he sucked me into that show, And I watched that show until the end, and then literally the Monday after that show ended, I moved over to GH. Now, I moved over to General Hospital in the tail end of the Garen Wolf era. So, not having watched it in its low points, I became a fan of the show immediately. I became a bigger fan when Ron Colavati and Frank Valentini showed up.
Of course, yeah. They brought it back to what it was in its heyday.
Exactly. And General Hospital for the past year has been simply, I don't consider it, this is my opinion of General Hospital. I don't think it's the best soap opera on TV. No. I think it's the best television show on the air, period.
The most improved.
Wow.
I think it's the best TV show on the air right now.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, well, every day something happens, so it's a cliffhanger every day.
And you need that. That is something
mm-hmm.
that's missing from the soaps these days. Harkens
yeah.
back to the heydays of the 70s and the 80s.
Right.
You know, so my major soap fandom has been with the ABC shows. The only CBS soap I ever liked was Guiding Light. And I think it's kind of cool that if I was to be a soap fan, my first soap would be the soap that started it all.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it was a great soap, and it was you know, just to lose a single soap, that was just unfathomable. I remember growing up thinking, you know, these things have been on longer than my grandma's been breathing. I mean, you just
right.
never, ever thought in a million years that the soaps would be the one thing that would go off the air.
Back in the day, you had the likes of Santa Barbara, Another World, Search for Tomorrow, Secret Storm. You had all of these classic soaps.
Mm-hmm.
That you knew they weren't going to last forever, but you'd think they would be, because of their longevity, you would think that, you know, they would be for a long time. And even when you hear of cancellation, it doesn't click until the final show airs.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
and
because it doesn't seem real. And I felt that way with All My Children and One Life to Live. It just didn't seem real. It didn't seem like the last show I was watching was going to be the last show, and that was it.
And here's something about Santa Barbara you probably didn't know, just a little bit of trivia. Santa Barbara was produced by a company called New World Television. Now, New World was a B-movie company founded by a man named Roger Corman. He launched a television division in the early 80s, and Santa Barbara was their first show. New World was purchased by a company called Genesis Entertainment in 1995. 2 years later, those companies were absorbed by News Corp, which means Santa Barbara is owned by 20th Century Fox.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
No,
and
I don't think anybody would have guessed that.
And Santa Barbara is also the show that I believe launched the soap career of a lady by the name of Nancy Begron.
Oh, yeah, I know. I didn't watch it, but I know she was a part of a super couple.
She was. And then it was in 96, that she jumped to GH, and she's been there for 16 years.
Yeah.
You know,
I couldn't imagine GH without her.
You know, it's like, yeah, she's so, I mean, she's not a, I don't, I'm trying to phrase this the right way. She's not a super main character per se, but she is a part of the GH fabric. So.
I love her. No matter, she's funny, and even when she's trying to be serious, sometimes she's funny. It's just the way they write the lines, I guess, and just the way she is. And I love watching her tweets. She tweets about everything. She's outspoken. She don't care who sees it, who reads it, you know, what you think
yeah.
about it.
not to mention the fact that she's north of 50 and is still where, I'm not trying to knock her. I'm not saying that she should be covered up. Because
God, how many times has she been practically naked? She's got a body
yeah.
that rocks.
Yeah.
Yeah, the woman is north, like I said, the woman's north of 50, but she's well preserved. Let's say that.
She definitely takes care of herself. Well, we do have Sabina hanging on the other line, but before we move on to pick her up, I want Dawn to go ahead and finish talking about the website, and then we'll go ahead and bring her on and we'll talk about soaps, and then David, you can call in at that time. So give us a few minutes, please.
Well, let's see, where was I? So earlier I was talking about our partnerships page that was added this week, and I was going over the various partners that we consider to be some of the best in the business, and we're very glad to have them on board with us. And It's just a great, great hand-in-hand, you know, situation. Another new page that I just added today, as a matter of fact. I think I spend all my time almost when I'm not on air on this website. But
I'll vouch for that.
Because I'm always saying, what do you think? I'm putting you in.
Yep.
But no, I added a page today that is kind of also tying in something else that Pam and I have embarked on. But in addition to doing the show here on Blog Talk Radio, we are now, you know, once we conclude each show, we are actually putting them on YouTube. We've created a YouTube channel called The Take Two Radio. And so we will have all of our videos on there at some point. And I will tell you, it's kind of a slow process. It's not going as fast as I want it to. I want my fingers to snap and just I'll be there. But what we've done on the website is we put the first 5 shows that we've uploaded to YouTube so that you can actually watch them right there on the website. We have Jeannie Cooper and Eric Braden, Sean Kanan, James C. Burns, and Sherry Chateau. And so from there, as we continue uploading, you can just go to YouTube, our YouTube channel, and I'll have the link to that channel on our website, which I don't quite have the page finished yet, but you can go there and you'll be able to catch all the videos. And basically it's just our interview, but, you know, it's set to music and, you know, with the intro and so forth and pictures. And it's, you know,
it's just another way to listen to them.
That's right.
We recommend that you subscribe to the YouTube channel for Take Two Radio, because every time Dawn uploads one, you'll get a notification in your email and be able to listen to the interviews there that you may have missed if you don't do it through iTunes or through Blog Talk Radio or through our website.
Yeah, exactly. We're trying to give people as many outlets to find us as possible. And so the YouTube thing is kind of a new thing, but and we'll see how it goes. But right now, so far, so good. But I would just implore anyone, if you haven't checked out our website, please go to take2radio.com. That's the number 2. And it's just chock full of information from start to finish. You know, it has every interview that we've done on the website. You know, it talks all about Pam and I. and it's just got a little bit of everything. You know, something
also
for
the
everyone.
Fan page. Talk about the fan page.
Yes, we can't forget about the fan page. Which, before I talk about that, let me go ahead and let the listeners know. When you go to our website, if you hover over the home key, you'll see a little drop down menu, and you'll see 3 additional pages that have been loaded into that. One is an announcements page, and we put stuff there as we get it, you know, like breaking news or like right now we've got a flyer on there regarding Dominic, and I'm gonna really mess up his name, Zem Pravna and Jason Thompson from ABC General Hospital. And they're going to be at an event on Saturday, March the 9th, and there's a flyer there, and it tells you the cost and all the details and where to sign up and so forth. You can actually even print off the form and mail in the, you know, your registration if you want to go to that. Also, the brand new pilot mini movie of The Grove, the new web series.
It's phenomenal.
It is. So we have
anybody that has not seen that yet needs to watch The Grove. Not only is it, of course, the executive producer and starring in Crystal Chappelle, but Jessica, how did you say her last name, Dom?
Lucia.
It has Bob Woods from One Life to Live. Oh, my God. I think that was the most happiest I had been in so long to see his face again. It has Jordan Clark. It has Beth Maitland. It has Christian LeBlanc, Michelle Stafford, Nadia Bajorlin, Mark Hopka, Bobby Eakes, Peter Ruckel, Lindsay Godfrey, Judy Evans, Harrison White, Patrick Ewan White. I mean, oh, my God. It is so good. You've got to watch it.
Yes, but we have it linked right there. You can watch it, and it's going to be a great little web series. So I'm really excited that Crystal has done that, and she's brought in all the different soap stars from all the different soaps. It's just great. Fans from all walks of soap life will enjoy that.
Exactly.
And also, so that's on our announcement page. And then our coming soon page, you can just check out, you know, who will be on our show, you know, at some point we've been in talks with. So you'll check that out. And also there's a fan page. Now the fan page is new. For we just added it this week as well. And what that is, that's an opportunity for anyone who, you know, if you're a fan of a particular celebrity and you've gone to a celebrity event, you've had your picture taken with them, you've got a story to tell, send it in to us. You can send it to info@taketworadio.com. Send us your pictures and your stories. We will put them on the website. And a friend of ours named David, he met Steve Burton recently, and he submitted a little blurb about that and a picture. And so we put that on the site, and so we want, you know, we want to showcase what you guys are doing. And it doesn't have to be soap flips. It can be
That's what I was going to say.
You know?
Anybody.
So, you know, anybody, if it's musicians, you know, if you met Justin Bieber, you know, and you want to send in pictures, go ahead. I mean, we will post it because, you know, the website was created not only to be an information piece, it is also for you guys. And it's for anyone that's a fan of our show and a fan of these celebrities. So we try to make it as interactive and as informative, you know, as we can, but we want you to feel like you're a part of it. So feel free to send those in, you know, as you want to. And we'd love to get them out there for you and share your stuff. So, but it's got a lot of content, so check it out. We've got a lot of new stuff, and I think you will like what you see. So did you want to add anything?
Yeah, and also our sponsors.
Oh, my gosh, how could we forget?
Yes, you need to talk about the cake lady.
Yes, the cake lady is a friend of mine. Her name is April, and she owns a cake shop here in my local town. But she has she's recently moved into her own shop, and she has the ability, you know, to ship anywhere. But she makes some of the best custom-made cakes and cupcakes that you'll ever eat. Nothing is pre-made. It's all made from scratch. They're, you know, made to order. So, and she uses the best ingredients, and, you know, there's just no fluff. It's just great stuff. And they cut her cakes and her cupcakes come in a variety of flavors. And my mouth starts watering every time I start talking about this stuff. Because I've tasted it, I've had it, and it's delicious. And I wish everybody, you know, could get one of her cupcakes because they're awesome. But she makes and I know a lot of people would not have a clue what this is, but she makes a brownstone front cake, cupcake, that what it is a chocolate cake. And then on top of the chocolate cake is a caramel icing, but it's not a traditional caramel that you would think that would be sticky and gooey and all that. It hardens. So it's like the outer shell is hard, and then the inner is just soft and smooth when you bite into it. And but the first time I tasted one of those cupcakes, it reminded me of the brownstone front cakes that my grandmother used to make when I was growing up. I mean, the flavor was identical. And so it really took me back because, you know, since my grandmother passed, of course, we haven't had that in the family, and it was just nice to go back in time and have that memory. But she really, really does a great job, and she stays in demand all the time. She does bridal fairs, and she makes wedding cakes and cakes for any occasion. But you can click on the picture. The name of her business is Main Street Cake Shop, and you can click on her picture to take you right to her website, and she's got a whole gallery of cakes and cupcakes that she's made. And I'm telling you, you should eat before you go to her website, because you will be hungry and in the kitchen looking for something to eat afterwards.
Right.
But anyway, you can find her at on Facebook at Main Street Cake Shop, and shop is SHOPPE. On Twitter, she's Main ST Cake SHPPE. And if you'd like more information, you can email her at mainstreetcakeshop@gmail.com. So anyway, check it out. She's a great person, and I'm telling you, she her cakes and cupcakes are as great as she is. So anyhow, oh, so is there anything else I've forgotten?
I'm trying to think off the top of my head. We have the interviews. We have the sponsors, the partnership. We have the announcements coming soon, fan page. There's a contact us form if you want to recommend anybody that we can interview, who you'd like to hear, or just say hello, hello. We'll get that too.
And speaking of announcements coming soon, we are going to be we've already announced the YouTube channel. That was one of the big things that Pam and I have been working on for 2013 for the kickoff. But we've got another announcement that's coming in about a week or so. And so just be looking on Twitter, because as soon as we put it out there, you'll know. And we're putting the final touches on this. We've been working on this for a little bit. And along with that, I will tell you, without trying to tease, because I'm not trying to tease, I'm just kind of giving you a little heads up, we've got some big guests coming.
Oh, yeah.
We have got some big guests coming. And Pam and I, we still honestly sit in amazement and go, how did we do that? I mean, we just really are blown away time and again by who we're able to get on this show, and who, it's just like things just happen and unfold before our eyes sometimes, and we just sit there and go, really?
Yeah.
but that's the great thing about this show, because, it's not just a soap show. It's not just a music show. It's not just a news or a fan show. It's a one-size-fits-all show. And, and so we try to bring a little bit of everything to you, to try to appeal to everyone, and we try to have something for everybody. Although, with Pam and I, our first love is music and the soap. But, of course, last night we had James C. Burns on, and for those of you, he's been in lots of television and movies, but he also is the voice of Sergeant Frank Woods. Woods. I'm getting confused. for the big Call of Duty Black Ops series. I mean, he is the main character, the voice of the main character in those, and it was hilarious. I mean, we had, high school young men, that were calling in and just oohing and aahing and talking to him.
It was adorable.
You're my favorite character. Oh, it was adorable, and I told Pam off air, I said, gosh, that was the first show we had where we had the youngest callers. But it was a great show, and so, we try to bring variety to you all. We don't want to be just a one-faceted show. We want to have many layers, and we want to keep bringing you the best guests. So just stay tuned, because we are always trying to blow you away, because we're blown away. anyway. But, yeah, just stay tuned and follow us on Twitter, Take Two Radio. And then you can follow me, Dawn, Take Two Radio. And as soon as we know, we will let you know. And that's the best way to keep up with us.
Sorry, I had to switch phones. All of a sudden, my other one's going to die out. I think someone needs to buy me a phone.
Don't look
at me. I'm broke.
I think we all are. Okay, well, I think we've covered everything. So I'm going to go ahead and bring Sabina on. Sabina, are you with us?
Hi, how are you?
Hi. And for all of our listeners, Sabina is another sub co-host. Now, Dawn, I don't know, between Dom and Sabine, they might be after you trying to send you a cold bug through the internet, because you don't seem to miss a show. But if Dawn ever has to miss a show, or even if I do, we're going to go ahead and we're going to bring on Dom or Sabina.
Yeah, Lord.
Yay!
Knows where.
Yay! And hello, Sabina.
Hello, yeah, Dawn. How are you?
Lord knows what will happen if all you guys get sick.
You'll have to take it by yourself, Dom, and I'm sure you could do it.
That's right. Well,
Becky Herbst once said that I deserve my own blog talk show, so you're probably right.
There you go.
There you go. Now you know. There's your affirmation. And so instead of, we had a guest tonight that was scheduled, but we saw a tweet just flying by earlier today that she was under the weather with the flu, and we did not hear from her to confirm. We tried to reach out to her and never heard anything. So needless to say, we we brought Dom and Sabine on tonight, and now tonight is a little, you know, off the beaten path of the norm, but since it's Friday night, it's Take Two Radio and Friends. I mean, we got
That's
some great
right.
friends aboard, and it's just, you know, we just have a great time. And if anybody that is a regular listener of our show or a new listener of our show, you want to call and just chat, get in on the conversation, please, we welcome you to do that. You know, the more the merrier. So don't be bashful. I mean,
yeah,
and that's
we're
going to
talk. We're going to talk about soap. So David's going to be calling in a few minutes, and we'll go from soap to soap. And some of us have expertise in one soap. Some have more. So we'll just go around a round table.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ma'am, it's funny you mentioned. You know, it's funny you mentioned expertise and stuff. This really doesn't have anything to do with that. But I told Pam this. Funny thing about soap operas is that cross promotion comes in a lot of different forms. Like, you know, like for example, on All My Children, there were tie-in books. You know, fictitious books that were made real. There was a perfume called Enchantment, which was named after Erica Kane's company. But as I'm digging around some of the junk I have in my bedroom here, I found something kind of cool, and I've showed Pam this. But
we don't want to see your boxers.
He did say he was in his bedroom, didn't he? Oh my!
Yeah. Well, okay, that's fine. It helps. It helps that I'm not wearing any at all. But anyways.
Oh my God!
Hey, you can't yell at me. You walk right into that. You stepped on it and stepped
right.
in it and dropped it right into the house.
That is so true. We did ask for it, didn't we?
I showed Pam this. I tweeted a picture of this, but I think this is kind of cool. Pam's from Illinois, as you guys probably know. 1993, the Illinois Lottery, and this is true, Illinois Lottery came out with a commemorative lottery ticket to celebrate the 25th anniversary of One Life to Live.
Wow,
so,
very impressive.
I think that's the only time they've ever had a lottery ticket to commemorate the anniversary of a soap opera. Just
and I'm sorry I didn't get any.
I was just digging through this, and I just happened to find it, and I think it's pretty cool. Now, another tie-in was kind of neat was back in the days where Disney actually gave a damn about their soap operas, there was a soap opera-themed cafe at Disney World.
Was there?
Wow.
Yeah. And not only was it just – it wasn't just, like menu items based off of the other shows. You had replicas of the sets from the shows.
That'd be awesome.
In replicas of the sets from, I think you had Adam's Study, or you had Landfair, or you had Jake's Bar. I think you even had something from Port Charles, because that was on at the time. So, yeah, that closed down in 2003, but just goes to show how cross-promotion can come in many forms.
Wow.
Anybody? Anybody? I totally agree with you. You can find soap things anywhere. Wherever you look, wherever you go, it's just been around so long that you're just bound to run into it whether you watch them or not.
Yeah, and I think the best cross-promotion they had was something called the Super Soap Weekend.
Yeah.
Every year until, I don't know when it started, but every year till about 2008, I believe, at Walt Disney World in Florida, you would have the casts from all three soap operas there, and you would have all sorts of activities. You'd have musical performances by some of them. You would have Q&As by some of them, hosted by a guy named Bob Guinea. You would have open auditions where you would reenact scenes with some of the cast members from the shows. You had trivia contests. You had the whole works. And I've seen many clips of it on YouTube, and I always thought it was a nice concept and very sad that they stopped doing it.
Right, exactly. Now, I did bring David on, so I'd like to go ahead and start talking about the soaps and what's going on these days. And we'll start with that since I said these days. We'll talk about Days of Our Lives. And Sabina, I know you're an expert on that, so why don't you go ahead give your opinion, give a rundown, do whatever you want.
Yeah, that's actually been my favorite soap, my only soap, as of since 1990. and I'm missing a lot of characters, and I'm enjoying some of the characters that are on. And then, of course, we have Eric has come back.
Oh, I love
it. Now Father Eric. I love the actor playing him. I, for some reason,
Greg
my brain
Vaughn.
Is not working.
Greg
yes,
Vaughn.
He is
Greg Vaughn.
Gorgeous. And I've completely put out of my head and forgotten who the person that was playing him before. Because
Jensen
Greg
Ackles.
Came in and owned
yes,
it. Yes.
Yes.
And I
Jensen
love Jensen.
Ackles.
I absolutely adored him in that role. But Greg has definitely
made
come
it his
in
own.
And owned it. Mm-hmm. And I love seeing him and Ally Sweeney in scenes together, or you know everybody he's in scenes with is fantastic. I love that Kristen's back. I knew she was going to be coming back and causing trouble again, and she sure has taken the ball and run with it.
Let me tell you, the last mm-hmm. episode, because I didn't get to watch today's yet, but the last episode I watched
here.
Was when John and Brady were fighting, and
oh, yes.
Kristen was standing there with that smirk on her face
uh-huh.
and loving it and jumping up and down. And the only thing that went through my head at that point was, mean, mean, mean.
Yeah, I know, right? We always think about that, too.
Yes.
So, yeah, she's definitely that Eileen Davidson is fantastic in that role. I can never see anybody ever play Kristen or even Susan other than her. That is the
right.
only person. Just like there's a lot of them that I feel that way about. I think Sammy. I could not see anybody else play Sammy.
Sorry.
Okay.
Hold on.
Whoa.
The hell was that?
Dogs fighting over a little piece of food.
Oh,
wow.
She let the cats out. My God. What did you step on them? I mean, really?
No.
Oh, that's too funny. But, yeah, there's a lot of them. But I'm really enjoying John and Marlena having a big front burner story. And I've heard these awful rumors, and I've heard that even Drake Hogeston tweeted the other day something ominous about we really need to get on the bandwagon and make sure that they don't go away or whatever. And that was kind of bizarre, and I don't know what that's about. But then I also noticed today that Brian DiTillo has called off the dogs. He tweeted and said something about his, the powers that be, don't want to keep seeing that he needs a job, you know. Like we've been trying to tweet and say he needs to be front burner, big,
yeah,
know, big storyline.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting here thinking, well, how many of the other actors are they getting annoyed by us bugging them about? Thinking,
yeah,
you know, that's how soaps go, and it's just different now. We have social media, so it's a lot more in their face, I guess, because before
right.
they would just
yeah.
get letters in the mail, and they probably could just ignore it a lot easier, I'm sure.
Right.
But either way, I'm going to still bug them because I want Patrick Muldoon and Christy Clark back on the show. I want all
the mainstays.
Is
anybody surprised by that comment? Is anybody surprised? Hands up.
Hands are up.
Sorry. I'm sorry. I've met Patrick Muldoon multiple occasions, and I run a fan account for him, so I have a little bit of a preference there. But I do absolutely adore every actor on the show.
Even Michelle said no.
Gee,
we're just razzing you. You know we're
Michelle
razzing you.
Yeah, I know. But, yeah, I have to say, I guess I do have a little bit more favoritism towards him, but I do absolutely adore everybody on the show, past, present, future. You know, it's just my show. And even, okay, so the holidays, when they had the holidays recently, I felt even more emotional and like, emotionally tied to the show because I have met so many of the actors that I'm watching now on the show, and it's just an amazing feeling. And I've got to say, can I talk about a little bit about the Atlanta Days charity event coming up in April?
Sure.
That is.
Go ahead.
That's going to be April 27th, and let's see if I can remember all the actors are going to be there. James Scott's going to be there. Aries.
Mine. Oh, okay. I'm back now.
Hey, I control yourself.
Yeah. Brian DiTillo.
Mine. Oh, okay. I'm going to say it for every man, so.
Don't get too excited to get flushed.
So I've got, and then Lauren Coslow, which I'm really super excited to meet because I've talked to her plenty of times on Blog Talk Radio shows and Twitter, and she's just fantastic. Let's see, Eric Martzoff, Sean Christian, and Wally Kurse.
Okay, mine. Okay.
come to the event, and then you can go mine. No, I'm just kidding.
I told you, the money has to rain from the sky first. But I would love to.
I guess, yeah, I'm really excited because I'm actually super lucky that I live in the same city that they're going to come to. So, yeah, it's going to be a fantastic event, and I'm looking forward to it. Anyway,
I think she's already overexcited herself, so I'll have to take her ticket. Right?
I am. I'm really excited. James Scott was supposed to be there last year for this event, and he ended up having to cancel last minute. So I'm really holding my breath at this point because I'm like, don't let it happen again. I'm super, super thrilled. But yeah, Days has always been my soap, and I feel even more connected. I've always wanted to meet the actors on the show, and there's still more that I want to meet, but I'm really, truly feeling blessed and honored to get to meet these people, not just in person, but through Blog Talk radio shows like this one. And I want to say how much I appreciate it and love it, and I will always support all of the shows that bring the fans and the actors together and do my part to help in any way I can.
Well, thank you. That was nice.
Thank you.
Does anybody else have anything to add about Days on what their favorite storyline, what they don't like, what's going on, anything?
I do.
Yeah, okay. A little bit, too.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead, Donna.
Okay, thank you. Well, actually, I'll be honest. I don't watch Days at all. My mom used to when I was growing up, but she stopped watching too. But I did find something kind of interesting here. You have Greg Vaughn playing the character of Eric Brady. Greg Vaughn is on Days, and another actor who was on Days was Kyle Lauder. Kyle Lauder played Rick Forrester on Bold and Beautiful before being replaced by Jacob Young. Jacob Young played Lucky Spencer in General Hospital, and he was replaced in General Hospital by Greg Vaughn.
Right.
See? It was kind of, I just realized that, you know.
Right.
Kind of circular between three different soap operas. And that's really the only thing I have to add because, I don't watch Days.
Okay, thank you. And David, did you have something?
Yeah, I agree with just about everything Sabina said. There's one point that really gets me, though, is Bo being absent.
Oh, I know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and the thing is that, I don't know, is he just upstairs?
Oh, no.
You know,
he's in the attic with all the other All My Children
attic,
people.
Or is he working in the garage? What is
agree with you there.
Yeah.
He's in the attic, but his mustache is somewhere else.
Yeah.
I mean that gets me. I know that he went to bring Carolyn away to get her treatment.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't think Carolyn would be back so soon.
I didn't either.
I knew Carolyn was coming back because there was no talk of her leaving the show. But I think it's a little I don't know, topsy turvy that he's mentioned and he We know he is there, but we can't see the person.
Right, right. He's always busy doing something else. He was visiting with his daughter at one point. I don't know where he is now. Do you, Sabina?
I believe he's turned into one of the children who are there but not seen.
Oh, okay.
That's what I was wanting to say.
He shaved his mustache, moved to a place called The Grove, and hangs out with somebody who looks like Carly Spencer.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really bothering me, too. I don't like the fact that they're talking about him like he's there, but yet he's not on the show. And that's kind of, I mean, I can see it with the children because child actors can't work as much. But for an adult and a main character like that, no, they need to write him off in some sort of way.
That's it, yeah.
Or replace him. Not that I want him replaced, though.
Right.
I do love him as Beau. But, yeah, that is kind of odd.
Well, I thought that, on the way back, something was going to happen. Maybe there was going to be a plane crash, or if they were in a car, and Carolyn survived, but Beau didn't. You know, I thought it was going to be something like that, but never thought it would be like this.
Uh-huh.
Where he's not, you know, seen, but only heard about, or talked about. But what are you going to do? You know, that's the way they wrote it, and that's what we'll accept. I have a feeling that eventually, you know, he'll be written off as far as, you know, letting the audience know that something happened to him. And his wife will get a phone call, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, unfortunately, things like this happen. Next, I'd like to...
upstairs getting the skis.
Well,
yeah.
Can I jump in here and ask a question of you guys, because I've never watched that show, but just to get your opinions. But do you think that they are, like, still leaving him technically in the show, even though he's not in the show, because there's some possibility he may return at some point?
That's yes and no.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no.
I know that he left the show on his own accord, the actor.
Right.
So unless they're going to eventually try to recast him, which will really upset a lot of people because they really like him, but
mm-hmm.
I know for a fact he left on his own accord, and I don't know when he would be returning, but it's not going to be anytime soon.
Right.
So they're going to drag that out for a long time, or are they going to figure out some other way to have him written off until he does? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
Didn't Peter go to Costa Rica? Didn't he take a vacation? That's why he was leaving?
I don't know. Did you see anything on Twitter about that he went to Costa Rica?
Where did I hear that? I heard something that he was going to take a vacation. I thought even he was going to move there.
Heard that they have.
It's been a while.
Because I know that his wife, Kelly Moneymaker, has left the, starts with a V, I can't think.
The other web series you're talking about?
Yeah, she has stopped working on that with the music side because they are moving. I don't know where they've moved to or they're going to move to. I think they've already moved or they're en route to move. Whatever it is, but they're not living close by. So I don't see him returning for sure anytime in the very near future at all. And it's going to be a very long, drawn out of him being there but not really being there, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Well, you know, he's on the Grove, and I know, like, for example, B&B, not to jump ship, but B&B has this, you know, clause in place that if one of their actors wants to go off and do something else, that they cannot be on B&B while they're off doing other projects. And I don't know if all soaps operate the same way, but I just know that is their policy. And I was wondering if perhaps because he's in the Grove, if it's kind of the same standing under, you know, clause that he can't actively be on days if he's doing the Grove. You know, so I don't know. I mean, to have him recast, and I never watched the show, but being a fan of other shows, you just knew who Bo and Hope were. I mean, you know, and so even for a, you know, someone who doesn't watch Dave, it would be weird even for me to learn that he was recast as someone else. You know, and I think when soaps do that, it's weird because it's, you know, you're trying to, you know, you remember the person playing the role they played forever, and then all of a sudden they've recast them in a completely different role, and you're supposed to buy that and believe it. It's like, wait a minute, mm-hmm. you know. So I hate when the soaps do that, too. It really, really rubs me the wrong way.
Yeah, but then again, you can't blame them if the actor wants to leave on their own accord. You know, that's a different story. But if they fire him to bring in another recast, then that's not cool.
Like they did with Cameron.
Expensive recast.
Yes. Yeah.
Like they did with Cameron. I didn't understand that at all.
I didn't
I don't
either.
Know what happened there, but I
didn't
liked,
even know
I really that. Liked Skylar.
Skylar. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did
but
too.
But I don't know why they did that. That was very bizarre. Just out of thin air. Poof, that happened.
Yep, and they don't owe us an explanation is how they feel, so we won't ever know the answer to that unless Skylar spoke up, and I highly doubt that he would do that. I think he's professional enough to, you know, keep that under wraps. So, you know, you just got to take it and move on. Nothing else you can do.
Yeah.
Well, he wasn't, luckily, like, an old character from a long time and, you know, got used to him. I did enjoy him, but I think I can get used to the other one easier than if it was like Peter Reckle as Bo versus some other person coming in.
Right, exactly. Okay, let's move on to the next soap. We'll go with Young and the Restless. Who wants to start with that?
David, you take that one.
All right. What's coming on now is catching my eye with everything with Finn and Jamie and everything going on under Michael and Lauren's nose. And they're going to be too blind to see that it is coming from Finn.
Exactly. Exactly. And what do you think of Finn's character now? Like, I think we've discussed when Christian was on, he's like a mini me.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, very much so. It's like history repeating itself all over again.
Right.
You know, which I think for classic Y&R fans, that it's neat to see that the writers have kind of instilled some of those traits into Finn because it makes him more believable as Michael. And you know, in Lauren, she was a bully back in the day.
Yeah, Tracy.
And, I mean, what'd I say? Yeah, with Tracy. That's right.
Yeah.
And and so, it's kind of like they've taken bits and pieces of each one of Michael and Lauren's character and have used it to build Finn. And so it's made for a very, very interesting storyline. And a storyline that also is, you know, very, very big in the news and society today as it is. So I do like the way that Y&R, you know, brought that into the show as a main storyline right now because it does need to be addressed. And
I couldn't agree more. One Life to Live did that too, and it was very well received, and it was very well written.
Mhm. Yeah. One thing I can say about Y&R and Bold and the Beautiful is that they've always, when they've had like certain issues or certain topics that are getting a lot of attention or need attention drawn to them, they've always been instrumental about trying to write those into the storylines and make it part of the show. And I love how they always, they always do the piece after the show is over, about where you can contact for more information kind of thing because, and I'm sure all the soaps do that, but I love how they take real-life scenarios and situations and bring it into the show, because you just never know what kind of a difference someone watching that show is going to make in their life, you know. And so that's a really good storyline right now. So
yeah, and Michelle just brought up Jack being addicted to painkillers was well written.
Yes, yes, very much so.
It was.
You know, he and you know, for me, it's kind of like having grown up watching, you know, Jack Abbott. It's a little bit hard for me to watch him be addicted to painkillers right now, because he's always been so strong in the family. He's been so determined, and he still
in
has
control.
That determined will
mm-hmm,
in control.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of weird for me to see something controlling him. You know, I mean,
right.
That is not Victor Newman. But, I mean, it's just odd.
But
I mean,
if you think about it, that's real life. Somebody could be strong for many years, and then all of a sudden, you know, everything that they'd been through, like the stress of him always fighting for his father's company and that, and then the accident and everything, you know, it all just comes crashing down, and here you find yourself taking more alcohol or taking more pills or whatever. So it's really, it's written like real life.
Yeah, well, and that is true. That is true. I guess, you know, when you're used to watching a character be a certain, you know, I guess for the most part the same way for so long,
mm-hmm.
It is kind of out of, you know, just kind of out of left field when you see him in this vulnerable, weak state of mind and situation that seems to be taking over their lives. But there is no doubt it has been a very well-written storyline, and it's been a very good storyline. It is unfolding quite nicely as well. So, you know, I have to give, you know, Weiner props on what they have done with that.
I agree. Now, there's only one storyline I can think of off the top of my head right this second that I'm not crazy about, and that is what they're doing to Kevin's character, played by Greg Rickard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's almost like, okay, are they going to put him back in that chipmunk suit? I mean, the way he's acting and hiding things from his wife and going, you know, doing the wrong things to try to save the company. You know, there's other ways to do it. Why always pick on poor Kevin?
Yeah, I know. Poor Kevin always gets the bad rap, you know?
Yeah.
I hate that because Kevin is—he's one of those characters. He is so well intentioned. You know, he
mm-hmm.
he always means well in everything that he does. It's just that he goes about it the wrong, stinking way. And
right.
You know, and you're sitting there screaming at the TV, going, "You dummy!
Yeah.
Why are you doing?" You know, the classic, the funniest thing that I thought, or which I thought was so classic, Kevin, was you know, the first day, I can't think of his name now, the detective comes in from New York, the New York detective. And he comes in, and Kevin, you know, prior to him walking in, he's like on his laptop, and he's steaming, and he's looking, and you can just see it in his eyes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the detective comes in, he just slams it shut, you know, and it's like, geez, please. And you're screaming at the TV going, Kevin, you're going to get caught again. How many more times do you have to go down the wrong path and know that this is wrong? But poor Kevin will never learn.
I know. And then Chloe, of course, has to get the, you know, downfall from that.
Yeah,
so.
That's true. But I think we cannot talk about Weiner without talking about the whole Adam sharing and Chelsea storyline.
That's true.
Yeah.
What do you think about that right now, David?
I think so far it's okay.
Yeah.
I'm keeping an open mind. I think it's going to get better. I'd like to think so.
Yeah. Well, I know that Michael Mooney, he's been dropping hints on Twitter about, you know, to stay tuned because there's going to be some. I know he tweeted right before they went into break for the holidays, and he was saying that, you know, stay tuned because immediately following their break, when you come back, we will be seeing scenes that were taped between him and Eric Braeden, and that they're going to be some of the most powerful you've ever seen on The Young and the Restless. You know, he does a lot of build-up.
Yeah.
And in the times that I've seen him tweet about the show, as vague as he's been, he always piques my curiosity. And then when these scenes unfold that he speaks about, without speaking about them, per se, it's
right.
almost like, wow, he was spot on, so that's what he meant, you know.
Right.
and so he's been doing that of late, and like today I saw a tweet he put out. He said, you know, if he could work for the next 10 years opposite, you know, Peter Bergman, you know, he said he's just a class act. And you know, so he's enjoying, apparently, you know, in a lot of scenes right now with him as well. But, you know, I kind of like him and Chelsea together.
I do, too. Thank you. I thought I was one of the only ones.
they kind of had to grow on me, but they kind of come from the same kind of backgrounds. You know, they
yeah.
kind of had the same mindset, and I think it's what makes them a great pair because they understand each other so well. And the great thing about them is they're almost a normal couple. You know, they're
right.
not out to wreck each other's lives. I honestly, you know, with Sharon, you just know that if the writers were to put Sharon and Adam back together, it's going to be more of the same, just a different scenario. I would like to see Sharon and Nick get back together.
Me
you know,
too,
although,
but you know what? Since he's been with Phyllis's
Avery.
Sister,
Avery,
I really like them together.
Now, I will say this. I think that Avery and Nick have the best chemistry of anybody on YNR right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's kind
yeah,
of,
I like
you know,
those.
whereas Phyllis and Ronan were steamy chemistry. I mean, you were just like, should this be X-rated?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it was that kind of steamy.
Right,
then,
yeah.
But
yeah.
then, you know, you have Nick and Avery, and it's such a cute pairing. And
it's romantic.
It's taking it slowly.
Yes.
I like how they're
yes.
taking it slowly.
Yes.
Yeah. And he, every time he smiles at her, those dimples just, I could just swoon for days. Those dimples and that smile. He has got a classic smile, does he not? And if Dr. Mars is listening, I'm going to hide the next time I'm on Twitter. But, but seriously, I mean, he is just to die for. And of course, we cannot wrap up our YNR conversation without talking about Kane and Lily. Because... And, of course, you know, Christoph St. John, Neil, and the gang. I mean, we've got some new people that have come on to YNR, and it's got a great dynamic right now. But I don't know. I would love to see Kane and Lily get a major storyline because they're so due. And, you know, there's been a lot of chatter about they've kind of been backburnered and, you know, and this and that. But I really think it's time. I mean, they've been kind of muddling through for a while now, as has, you know, Christoph St. John. And I think these staple fixtures on YNR that we love so much need to be in the forefront. They need to. But the one thing I will give the new writers, and that is that you're seeing more storylines in a single episode. You're seeing the way soaps used to be. You're not seeing, you know, it being all one-sided or just about all one family. I mean, things are kind of jumping around and you're seeing different things going on. And that's what I love the most about the soaps is the way you've got so many different things to keep up with and things to talk about instead of it being so one-sided and so predictable. So
right.
I am enjoying that a lot more about YNR these days.
Well,
same
speaking
here.
Of unpredictable...
Mm-hmm.
What do we all think about Steve Burton joining YNR?
Is this for real?
Oh, yes. It's fact. He's going to be on the talk, I believe, Monday to
and
talk about YNR.
You
and Michelle.
Michelle just told me that
she read that Steve Burton is apparently going to play Dylan McAvoy and is going to be Sharon's new love interest.
Oh, well, you know what I was thinking? They were going to cast him as
boyfriend.
You know, I thought it was going to be Avery's long lost boyfriend or husband or something, because I had read or heard something.
That is who that is. That who's that's Dylan McAvoy. Yeah.
Oh,
that's Avery's ex.
And let me tell you, something, kids. When news of this broke out, when news came that Mr. Burton was potentially heading to Y&R, let's just say the usual suspects, and you know who I refer to when I say that term. They were so up in arms about this. Without fail, we got the screams, we got the betrayal. How dare he do this? He didn't leave GH. He was fired. You know, the usual things you would come to suspect. And I'm not gonna lie. This comes a little bit out of left field. I mean, the only things I know about Y&R are that Chloe and Chelsea should get together if for no other reason but because I want them to. Victor Newman gives the closed captioning people headaches every time he opens his mouth, and that Doug Davidson hosted a version of The Price is Right in 1994. Other than that, I don't watch the show.
Now, there's
variety
for you.
Go ahead.
I do think that this does present a very interesting situation because you have Steve Burton, who has played the same character for 21 years, and when you have somebody on it play the same character for that long, to move into a different role is always interesting. I can give you an example. Stuart Damon, he played Alan Quartermain on General Hospital for almost 30 years.
Yeah.
He gets fired, heads up to Oakdale, and had a brief stint on As the World Turns, which is funny because he got to work with Lynn Herring again. So it would be interesting to see Steve Burton in this new role, if for no other reason than maybe he can do a complete 180 of what we expect, what we knew him as when he played Jason, because Jason was mostly emotionless, whatever, very rarely showed his emotions. So maybe, I don't know if this is going to be the exact same carbon copy of Jason, or if this will give the man a chance to smile more.
Right, right. Yeah, because he does have a great smile.
it's kind of like with Roger Howarth when he became Paul Ryan on As the World Turns. Some people would say that he was nothing more than Todd Manning without the scar. Maybe that's so, but he had his moments where he smiled more. He was more outgoing. He wasn't as the character had issues, but the issues weren't as intense as Todd's were. He was able to be a bit more relaxed with the character that he portrayed. So I think let's face it, this big announcement, we know it's going to be him officially announcing he's joining Y&R, so it's going to be interesting to see what he brings to the role and to see Steve Burton under Sony Picture Television's payroll.
Right. And as far as the announcement being out of left field, I have to agree with that 1,000%, because Steve said he left GH to go live in Nashville and to raise his family there and think of getting into different things. And I know he was in cahoots with, James?
Franco.
James Franco, thank you. And Jill, to do some kind of movie or something. And then, boom, all of a sudden he's on Y&R. Like, okay, I thought you were, you know, the way he made it sound, he was quitting the soap business. Let's put it that way.
Well, it's just like anything. I think if someone is born to do something and it is in their blood, they may get to a point where they say, you know, they may think they need a break, they may want to make a change, and they get away and they make that change. And they realize that what they really love to do is what they left. And I think sometimes people have to do that to make those realizations. Even if in his case, he was on GH forever. And, you know, but it could be, too, that he wanted a change to a different soap. And he just wanted some downtime with it. I mean, you don't really know behind the scenes. But I know personally people in my own life that have, you know, that have gone through that, and they would get, you know, kind of get weary of a situation, and they had been in for a very long time, like a job, for example, and they would try to go do something completely different, and it would be within just a few short months that they would realize to be right back working in the job they left.
That happened to me. Wait. That happened to me in 3 weeks' time. I realized I wanted to go back to my old job.
Well, you know, I think that is, you know, you think about how close knit these people on the soaps are, and you know, both on and off screen, and it's just a different dynamic, you know, when you're acting. And for anybody that's in the spotlight, and for anybody who loves that and really enjoys being on stage and doing all that is involved with being on a soap, you know, to get out of that and say, I'm going to go farm for a while, think about how boring your day would be. There's a big difference in being burnt out. It could be he just got burnt out and he wanted a break, and he's had his break, and he's like, okay, I'm ready to get back at it. And,
well,
and
Michelle
course,
just wrote in the chat room, she said, according to what she read, he missed the camaraderie of working on a soap. So,
well,
I mean, that's a good possibility, too.
That's right. And and I must say, him coming to YNR is going to help their ratings because he was so well-loved on General Hospital. And I predict there are going to be General Hospital fans that will watch YNR just because of him, if for another reason.
There will be. I can tell you right now, a lot of people.
And to that note, I want to say one thing about Jill Fehrenfeld. You know, there have been a lot of cast changes of late. Some I agree with, some I don't. And it seems like she is bringing a lot of people from places that she's been to YNR, which I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But I do believe, you know, I think they've got a pretty good cast now, but I was really concerned when they first came on board because they were getting a lot of newbies in there, I mean young newbies. And I was concerned after being a diehard YNR fan for years and years and years that a lot of the older cast were going to get kind of written out and backburnered, like, you know, Daniel Goddard and Crystal Khalil and some of these other, you know, Christoph, and some of the other characters who we have grown to love have done. And so, but, you know, as time has gone on, I've seen where they've integrated the new characters, but it seems like that they're branching out the storylines again, which is nice to see that back on YNR, because forever it was the Newmans and the Abbotts, you know, and it was really not a lot of anything else. It was just very two-sided, and you know, and it's nice to see a lot of diversity going on now. So it's going to be interesting because that is really going to be a great, him coming to Genoa City is going to be a huge setup because there's going to be the whole triangle between him, Avery, and Nick, and then you're going to have Nick, Sharon, and this guy, you know.
Exactly.
So it's going to be, it'll be great because, you know, of course, Sharon will be. She'll be the catalyst here once again, and so it's gonna be real interesting to see how that all plays out.
This is true. Any other comments about YNR before we move on to the next soap? No. Okay. Don't everybody scream at once. Okay. Like, go ahead, David. Go ahead.
Did you notice though that Jill is, sort of photocopying her stories from General Hospital?
No.
If you know, well, look what won last year, Luke's intervention.
Oh, yeah.
When he got struck, and it seems like she's doing the same thing with Peter Bergman as Jack.
Well, when you said Jill at first, I thought you were talking about Jill the character, so that's why I didn't know what you meant.
Yeah, exactly. I was thinking that until he said what he did.
Yeah, I'm like, what is she doing?
It could be worse. If Jill really wants to go full bore, she'll have a drunk, I don't know what Peter Bergman's character is, Jack. She'll have a drunk Jack run over Delia.
Ugh, yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to sound morbid, but
yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, I know. What she did over there was a hatchet job.
I saw the Jake storyline, and while I give props to everybody for the tremendous acting skills, that to me was like them killing off Georgie Jones. That was just shocking.
Right,
Yeah.
Killing off a character to prove a point. That was it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, as a matter of fact, I just watched that Georgie scene again where Max sees her laying on the stairs, and she, oh my God, that just broke my heart all over again.
That was, I'm sorry to go off on a tangent here, but here's the thing. There are ways for characters to leave the show, to leave a TV show, that are not gratuitous, that are not done simply for the sake of being done. When Emily was killed, that was kind of sad, but it was part of a thing where Nicholas wakes up and thinks that he did it because he got into one of his rages.
Right.
Georgie being killed, that was just sheerly for shock value, and shock value can work. It's something that can work. But if you're doing it just for the sake of doing it, if you're going to do it just for the sake of getting rid of a character with no rhyme or reason, that ain't right. I mean, seriously, Garroted by Diego Alcazar, really?
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I'm glad the guy got hung, but still.
Yeah, I know. We talked about that on the show when Ignacio was on with us. We talked.
Yeah.
I says, How much karma was that you got hung, you know, after you had choked all those people out?
I'll also say this much. Ted King's acting skills, in my opinion, he has his moments of good, he has his moments of over the top, but Lorenzo cradling Diego's body, that was pretty good stuff for him.
Yeah, that was. That was, you know, you had to feel for him being, a father and uncle or family man or whatever. You know, you just put yourself in that place, and that's got to be hard no matter what.
Yeah, but still, it's the same thing. It's not the same thing, but it's kind of in the vein of a character of, you know, a villain dying, you know, like Michael Gambius and All My Children. You root for his demise. You want him
right.
to suffer. And you want Diego to die for what he's done to Georgie, to Emily, to everybody else. And so watching him wind up getting hung, much like when Bianca shot Michael, that was very satisfying.
Exactly, yeah. It was like almost closure, but not quite, because, of course, you're still going to miss that other character that he killed off. But what are you going to do? That's what soaps are about. So next up, we'll talk about Bold and Beautiful. Who wants to start that one?
I just want to jump in quickly saying I don't watch Bold and Beautiful, but I do want to say that they should bring back the 1987-2004 theme song because they think the current one sucks. Carry on.
Well, you know, I don't know how we follow that. No,
I know, right?
Because I'm sitting here going, oh, gosh, I don't even remember the theme song back then. But anyhow, I don't know. Now, I know I'm going to speak for every single Bold and the Beautiful fan out there, and probably some soap fans who know certain characters on the show and are probably thinking it too. But this whole Liam, Hope, and Steffi, would he just make a choice already?
Somebody stab me in the eye. It would be easier to take. I thought we were finally over that.
I know, really. And here we go again. I mean, but you had to know that when Rick lied to Hope sometime back, this was going to come back to bite him on the ass at some point, and this would restart this all over again. Okay, I can hear the fans screaming now because they're all going, yes, oh, my gosh. I mean, because this storyline it's gone beyond the point of old. I can understand the B&B concept of trying to recreate the generational history of the whole Ridge, Brooke, and Taylor, you know, trifecta triangle.
Yeah.
And you know, into this new, their offspring triangle, okay?
It's not working.
But unlike Bill Bell days of, well, that was Young and the Restless, but the younger days of Bold and the Beautiful, where you had the great writing that made that triangle work and made it so believable, this is just beyond the point of pathetic. I mean, it's like Liam is such a, well, I'm not going to say he's a jerk. I don't think he's a jerk. But he is really, it's almost like he gets kissed and he's back in Hope's court. He gets screwed and he's back in Steffi's court. I mean, it's like, could you be any more henpecked and led? I mean, they both got him on a leash and they're just leading him around like a, you know, by the noose in his nose. And it's just like, you know, those two girls, the writers should really just have them both just
write him off.
Yeah.
I love Scott Quinn.
There you go,
I mean,
Dom.
Love...
We could get Hope and Steffi.
Yeah.
Let me jump in here. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I'm looking in the chat room, and apparently this Michelle person is saying that the best cheekbones on CBS this side of Grant Alexander, Ron Ross, is coming back on his own terms.
Yeah, that's what she read.
Well, you know what? I never believed for a minute that Ron Moss was going to be gone permanently, and I'll tell you why. Because
I don't either.
On the heels of him leaving B&B and making that decision to leave and not renew, is what I said earlier, that they have a very stringent, and I've read this, that if you're going off to do other projects, that you cannot be on B&B. You cannot be on B&B. Imagine that. So, and on the heels of him leaving B&B, they, you know, he resurrected with his band, and they've been out on the road, and, you know, he's in Player way back in the 70s, and so they're doing their little reunion tour right now, and, you know, and he's gone off saying he's wanting to do some other things, but I think he's very much like Steve Burton. He's been in soaps for so long, he's gone off to do some other things, but his first love is going to be soaps. And B&B would be absolutely out of their minds if they did not bring him back. Now, the one thing that I hate is that they did not bring him back, or he did not agree to come back when they wrote Stephanie off, you know, when Stephanie
off the show.
Because
that
is the one facet to all of this that I think made that whole storyline incomplete by not having, you had everybody there but Ridge. I mean, but it sets up a great future storyline in that Ridge comes back and he's really struggling with not being there for his mother when she died, kind of thing. And then that's creating a whole new dynamic within the show itself.
Yeah.
But somebody, he needs to come back and straighten out his company. He needs to come back and straighten out his children, because they're all, his two daughters in particular, his stepdaughter and his real daughter.
Thomas with the size of his ego, the size of a football stadium, too.
Yeah.
I mean, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I would have expected that from Rick, but not from Thomas right away.
And I'll tell you something else. When he left, and, you know, and I was kind of seeing some fodder about, you know, Captain Kelly Lang's character, and that she was going to have a new love interest. You know, I thought for sure they were going to bring Deacon in, and she and he were going to pick up where they left off. And I'll tell you why, because when Hope and Liam were supposed to get married and Bill brought Deacon back for the purpose of disrupting that wedding, I thought, there we go. We're setting the stage. And this is before anybody knew Ron Moss was leaving. But even with him in the picture, all I could think was, you know, they're setting up this storyline for a reason. They're prepping the viewers. Deacon's coming back. And, of course, now Deacon's on GH. So, you know, what do you do? But yeah, this whole is just like B&B right now is like YNR was about a year ago. It's very one-dimensional. It's very one-sided.
It's stale.
It's very storyline-ish. And it is stale. And there's not a whole lot happening. And there's a lot of good actors on there, like Texas Battle, for example. He's not hardly getting any airtime.
I know.
He's a great actor. I just don't get it. So I'm not real happy with B&B right now, and something's got to change.
And Windsor Harmon, I mean, I don't know why they broke up him and Taylor. I loved him and Taylor together.
You know,
and now Windsor is backburnered again, and he comes out for his mom's, you know, goodbye party and that. And there was Felicia, and there was Kristen, and there, you know, all of the people were there, and it's just... I just most recently, I had DVR'd a segment of episodes from the time Stephanie started saying goodbye up until her final day. I actually watched her final day because I didn't realize it was going to be that. But in between there, I just couldn't watch it because it was so emotional for me to see everybody and her saying goodbye to each individual person and saying all the special things and that. It was very hard for me. And I know she's a character. I know that the real Susan Flannery is not dead and that she's going on and she's going to go into directing or producing and whatever it is for Venice and, you know, do other things. And bravo to her that she wants to do that. You know, I wish her all the best. But it was just very hard for me to watch. And I just recently watched it over the weekend. And I'm almost caught up on it, but it's really been hard. They really wrote that well.
Mm-hmm. They did write that well, and it was very believable. And, yes, mm-hmm. even though, you know, Stephanie is just a character, the way they wrote it, it was as if it were real and it was really happening and she was really dying. And
yeah.
if you've ever lost a loved one close to you and you watch that, you boo-hooed for days after. It was
exactly.
very hard to watch.
Exactly.
Very hard to watch. So I mean, I'm very glad that they did that the way they did it. And from what I understand, you know, Susan Flannery, when asked, I read in an interview that Brad Bell did with TV Guide, and he was talking about, you know, that he had tried to talk to her about how, you know, she wanted her final scenes to be written, and she's like, just write them. I'll show
yeah.
and
she said, whatever
them.
You
I mean,
write,
she
I'll
didn't
do.
Want to know.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't want to know. She wanted to just,
yep.
you know, be surprised right along with the viewers. So,
mm-hmm.
which I think made the acting much better than if she had known ahead of time, you know.
Right.
It's just a real testament to the wonderful actress that she is, very highly, incredibly talented as well.
Exactly. Anybody else have any remarks before we move on? No? Okay.
No, I'm a little behind B&B. I haven't seen it in a while, so.
Okay. Well, next up, and the last one, of course, is General Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
David, do you want to start with that one?
Okay. Well, first off, I want to thank Dawn and Pam for posting Wendy's flyer on the web.
You're very welcome.
I'm trying to get Wendy to join us a little bit. I know she's retweeted me today, so I'm going to try and get her involved with this,
mm-hmm.
with us, what we do. And
sure.
And I will be at Jason and Dom's event in March, and I will bring you back something a little different than I did for Steve. I plan
okay.
to.
Okay.
Might be a video.
Awesome. Oh, a video.
Oh,
well,
so you're not going to bring us Jason and Dom then, huh?
Well, if Dom can let go, because didn't he and his wife just have a baby?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes, they did.
I'll do what I can in that department.
Thank you.
Okay, when you're talking about Dom, you are so not talking about me, are you?
No,
Dom
no,
Zimbringa from General Hospital.
Okay, this is going to be confusing.
No.
He plays Dom King.
No, he's going to their event.
I know who you're talking about. It's just you say Dom, I think. They're not talking about me, are they? And then I realize they're talking about him.
Oh, you can bring all the Doms then. Let's how about that?
Well, you can bring the Doms. You can bring the subs. You can have all the S&M fun you want.
Yeah. And I'll even take, me and Don will take Dom Perignon.
Yeah, there you go. Well, David, are you going to go to the cocktail hour and the meet and greet, or are you going to go to one or the other, or?
I'm going to both of them.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Well,
I've already paid for it, so.
Cool.
Wonderful.
Well, I know you can't wait till March. You can't get here quick
March
enough.
March the 9th at 4 o'clock.
I'll bet he knows the address by heart, too.
Probably.
The address? Wait a minute. Hold on.
Look at him.
If I were going to a safe event with some of the Y&R folks, I would know every last detail, too. And I don't have a memory
of
these days. So, gosh. But, you know, I need to move to a big city because these soap stars never come to North Carolina. I guess they think we're just a little podunk state or something. I don't know. But they go to the big cities, you know, the big states, Chicago, New York.
They used to.
Well,
they used to have an event, I think, the Dave Stars. I don't know about anybody else, but I think in South Carolina or North Carolina. And in Tennessee, they used to do stuff, but.
Mm.
They're dropping a lot of the areas that they go to, I guess.
Yeah, probably the expense of traveling and stuff to get to these places. And, you know, all that. Mm-hmm. It's not safe to travel mm-hmm. anymore.
No. Well, back to GH. Everybody
hey,
put their hand up and say, who's tired of Connie?
I don't know who Connie is, but apparently she's not well-liked.
All due respect to Kelly Sullivan. She does a good job with what she does.
Oh, my God.
But, yes.
But I look,
I have...
got to shit or get off the pot.
Yeah, I agree. I almost wished Star had let go of her hand because I am that tired of Connie and her getting away with all this stuff.
Kelly
I'm just
Sullivan
tired of it.
Is a great actress. Kelly Sullivan
yes.
is a great actress, and she does a good job with what she does.
Yes.
But enough is enough. I either turn her back in the gate or kill her and be done with it.
Right? Yep. I totally agree with that. And now I believe that Trey's going to die, and that's her son, and
yep.
she ended up being, you know, partaking in that killing
and
by doing what she did.
Sub-desk is written off GH. Terrific.
Yep.
As big a fan as I am of Cartini's writing, they have their hack moments, and this is one of them.
Yeah. I will have to agree with you there. I will have to agree. You know, they've gotten off of the mob stuff pretty much and made it more General Hospital like it used to be. But
yes.
this Connie stuff is just as bad as having nonstop 24/7 mob stuff, you know, with her. I can't.
Yeah.
You know, even Vicky took a break from her DID. Come on.
Yes, especially now she puts Johnny's body in the trunk and then there's another car crash. And just
mm-hmm.
I haven't seen it yet, but from what I read on Twitter, Johnny confesses that he's the one who killed Colin Hope.
He sure did.
Yeah,
he did.
While Connie is hanging over the edge of the thing.
He sure did, to save Connie, because Star was going
to
let her go.
And I
yeah.
don't understand why, look, Star, I'll say it, they should have let Connie die, because if Connie died, then Johnny would be free of whatever obligations and things and whatever he would have to her, you know. But,
yeah.
look, soap operas, you have to suspend your disbelief. That's part of the game.
Yeah,
right.
So, my God, you question the competence of every single person in the damn town.
You got it. Everybody has taken an idiot pill. It's amazing when it comes to Connie. I'm telling you. I loved when Sonny kidnapped her and put her in the warehouse, and I was so mad when Michael walked in because I really think that Sonny was getting somewhere with her for a quick second, and I thought, oh, yay, we're finally going to get Kate back, you know, and shit, then here comes Michael. Ruining it all.
Yeah. I mean, look, you knew Eric Valdez was leaving, and
yeah.
you knew they had to write Trey off in some fashion.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, enough, again, I, as big a fan of Cartini as I am,
yeah.
they're going back to a hackneyed tradition. It's the same thing with Colin Hope. You knew that whoever played Hope, you knew that Van Hughes wasn't going to be on GH, so you probably figured they were going to die. That's whatever. But when they repeat the same process with the character, and a character who's only been on for a grand total of, what, 5 or 6 months?
Yeah.
To have him die, too, as another means to an end, it's right back to Georgie being killed off for shock value. The death is
yeah.
rendered meaningless.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm not happy about that either. And I thought he was just going to drive off with Christina, and I don't remember reading anything about Christina leaving, so I was confused there, but now
well,
it all makes sense.
Yeah, when I found out that Eric Valdez was leaving but Lindsay Morgan wasn't, the writing was kind of on the wall, and I was hoping that Trey would be dispatched in a non-violent manner. But again,
mm-hmm,
another car crash and another
yep.
casualty,
and right where Hope and Cole died.
Exactly,
yep.
and to make
you
it
know,
and to
come
make
on,
it, and to make it even worse for fans of a certain super pairing from One Life to Live, Carly and Todd got it on.
And you know what? I'm not going to express my opinion because I know that a lot of people don't like it, and I know some people like it. And I'm, because I do the show, I'm not going to express my opinion on that.
Okay. Anyways, my thing is I'm indifferent to that. But that was part of a bigger picture, because another thing that happened today is that Steve proposed to Olivia. Now,
right.
Knowing that Scott Reeves is going to be leaving, is that Scott Reeves got fired,
mm-hmm.
I'm just going to say this. We're going to set him for another corpse.
Yeah.
I have a feeling.
Yeah.
General Hospital is known for having one of the biggest body counts in all the soap operas. But come the hell on. Another death? Can't they just have somebody get in a car or drive away or something?
Yeah, you would
mm-hmm.
think.
No, because if they do, it'll be just like what happened to Christina Corinthos. The damn car blows up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's true. And Sonny really hasn't been front and center. So I remember reading a tweet, what did they make him, the workout guy? Because that's all he's been doing is working out. But I have to say, as far as the mob part is concerned,
yes.
I almost peed my pants laughing when Milo was teaching Spinelli how to do strip.
Magic Milo at it again. And it gets
funny.
Even worse, too, because Ellie gets hit, and
yeah.
she comes by the road, and nobody notices her.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
and
thankfully, they did.
Thank goodness for that. But to make things even worse, again, you have to suspend your disbelief and you know full well that none of these people have any medical degrees, and by that I mean the writers. Maxie sees the puppy that's been shown in Olivia's visions.
Yeah.
Winds up tripping over herself, winds up miscarrying, and is going to wind up getting it on with a drunk Spinelli. Dollars
yep.
to donuts, she gets knocked up.
Oh, my God.
Tries to pass the kid off as the surrogates, Dante and Lulu.
Well, she admitted it to somebody. I think she just admitted it to Spinelli, if I'm right,
okay.
about miscarrying the baby. And, of course, the doctor knows, but I don't think anybody else does. And I could not for the life of me understand why she would lie to Lulu and Dante. I mean, you know, it's something that happened. Maxie
or the doctor?
Maxie.
Maxie, okay.
She lied to them. She didn't tell them. Well, she didn't tell them, put it that way. She lied by not telling them that she lost the baby.
Well, this is Maxie we're talking about, and she hasn't exactly, ever since Kirsten Storms came in, she hasn't exactly had a history of being truthful. But it's funny that I mentioned a dog, because she did actually sleep with a dog once. His name was Lucky. Anyways, It's just one of those things where it's like, again, you want to reach your hands through the DV and throttle these people. You question the intelligence of everybody involved.
Right.
You know, and then you got the evil nurse Britt who complains about having to help people.
I can't wait. Now, her body, I wouldn't mind counting as one of the deaths on GH.
Her sole purpose is to snare at the camera and lust after Patrick's cock.
That's it.
And then you got Sabrina, who has genuine feelings for the man, but doesn't want to save them because she's respecting the fact that he's still grieving over Robin's quote-unquote death. And furthermore, on that front, word around the campfire that Tristan Rogers is out again. That's why they wrote off Robert as being in a coma.
No.
Well, according to Michelle, she read in Soap Uncensored, and I didn't get to read the last issue yet, but supposedly Frisco's coming back to Port Charles, so I pray that's true.
Oh, well, okay, so you swap out one vet for another, Jag Wagner back. That should be something. Should be something, especially with everything that's going on. Should be interesting for Maxie to come across her dad.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be cool.
Am I the only person here who thinks that ever since Maxie wound up getting BJ's ticker that her brain capacity has been severely limited?
I don't know. She's always been quite goofy, you know, and
well, there's different
and blonde and flighty and
I mean, I was worried when this whole circuit thing came in because I thought that, well, forgive me for sounding crude, but I thought that the excess weight will make BJ's figure go pop.
Yeah.
So, interesting things are happening at General Hospital, but again, as big a fan of Cartini as I am, we find out that they're not perfect. I mean, they're better than Garen Wolf and Bob Guza, but they have their moments, and we're seeing them.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, and things like
perfect.
That happen. It, right, exactly. Exactly. So, any other things you want to add about GH? We're getting to the top of the hour, and we're going to start wrapping up.
The current theme sucks, and they should bring back the old one.
Who?
The current theme they're using, the 10-second synthesizer hits that absolutely suck,
okay.
And they should bring back the old one.
Yeah, I know. I like the old one, too.
I mean, I like Paul Glass. I like his work on One Life to Live. But and I know that ABC wants more commercials, so you know they had to shorten the opening. But really, to use generic synth hits, they make the 1995-2012 One Life to Live theme seem like high art.
Yeah, I know.
They used the previous theme for 8 years, and it was saxophones all the way. It was sax, and it was great. And then they used the night shift theme for 6 months, which is what it is, and then they switch over to this crap. I mean, they sacrifice quality for the sake of this.
I have to say one thing. I mean, if that's all we have to sacrifice to keep GH on, I'm willing to go through that.
I agree with you on that. I will agree with you on that. But give me the AMC theme over any of this any day.
Yeah. Well, everybody has their favorites. I loved when Star sang the One Life to Live theme. So,
that is
my favorite one.
And not a lot of people like Chris Alderson's singing talents. I happen to
think
she's pretty good.
Yeah, I do.
So
David, would you like to add?
Oh, yeah. Sean Kanan coming back.
The best
thing
ever.
Thank you, Ron Frank.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and to have Stuart Damon back for one day, even if it was just for one show, and you saw that even Stuart Damon's getting up in years, that was magic. That was some of the best.
That actually made me cry. I miss him so much.
Yeah,
all the characters, I love him the best.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of sad that everyone else is coming back from the dead, but he stays dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping that Monica had him locked away someplace.
Me too. Yeah, I thought that maybe it would have been a great storyline of bringing AJ back with Stuart, with him, because saying that he was the one taking care of him all this time.
Yeah, I mean, but the timelines wouldn't have matched up because AJ dies in 05, Alan dies in 07.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So,
right.
Yeah.
But
that's nothing new. It's not
true.
Like they haven't done things like that before.
But let's not forget this. It had been 15 years since Sean Kanan was AJ. And to see him and Stuart Damon in scene together, it's like there was no time at all. It's like Billy Warlock who?
That's right.
So, and I
exactly.
do think it's kind of, and I do think it's kind of, because I never saw him as Deacon on Wine Arm Bowl and the Beautiful. I never saw him on as any of that. So seeing him in the role of AJ was, you know, to begin with, was pretty neat, and to see him have scenes with Chad Duell was kind of awesome too, and I think that's interesting to see the powers, the struggle between Sonny and AJ over Michael. But there is one thing that they never addressed, they haven't addressed yet. AJ knows that Michael got shot. I don't think that AJ knows that Michael went to prison and that he was sexually assaulted.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, he does know he went to prison. Yes, he does.
Right.
I don't know about all of it, but no, he doesn't know about the rape.
Okay, there's a reason why I bring it up. If and when it is revealed, there has to be a catalyst for the Sonny AJ war to escalate, because you know it will escalate, and I think that would be it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
AJ finds out what happened to Michael, He thinks that it was because of Sonny that he got in the path to be shot that winds up leading to him hitting Claudio with a shovel, and he will go right back to Sonny, and that will cause AJ to go after him hardcore.
Oh, yeah.
So we got five minutes left in the program, so I'm gonna go ahead and take my leave now. Pam, Don, I wanna tell you something. Even though this was short notice, I am glad that you guys let me get on and ramble for a bit. And I am a sub co host, folks, so what that means is that, like they said, if one of these guys aren't available, I'll fill in. So hopefully I'll get to talk to you guys again sometime, and I will continue to talk to you guys on Twitter, and I'll take my leave of you, and y'all have a good night.
Okay, we want to thank you for joining us, Dom, and also to our listeners, if you'd like to follow Dom on Twitter, it's at AllNewtPR. What does that mean, by the way? It's
A-L-L-N-E-W-T-P-I-R. It's my Twitter handle is A-L-L-N-E-W-T-P-I-R, and the T-P-I-R part stands for The Price is Right.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Because
I always wonder what that was.
Because I was a game show fan long before I became a soap fan, and yes, it's a game show that replaced Guiding Light, but I am a fan. But I was a fan of Let's Make a Deal before I ever got into soaps in the first place, and that's a bit of an irony there. But yeah, All New TPIR is my Twitter handle.
Okay.
If you care to follow me for sundry and wonderful reasons.
Yeah. Follow him; you won't be sorry. Thank you, Dom. You have a good night.
You guys too. I'll talk to you guys
Thank
later.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Have a great weekend.
And Sabina, you've been awfully quiet because you don't watch the rest of the soaps that we talked about.
I was going to pipe up about GH because I had started to watch that.
And then I got
too busy to watch because of Ian Buchanan. And nobody brought up Ian Buchanan.
Okay.
Ian Buchanan,
and Finola Hughes, Dynamite.
Mm-hmm. So I definitely need to start watching again, and I might need some assistance and guidance on that show. I've never watched it, so I'm in the dark and clueless as to who is who.
Yeah. Well, we will definitely help you with that. And Dom, as you can tell, is an expert in soaps and you know, just reach out to any of us. David, too. I mean, he knows a lot. So definitely reach out to them. And for our listeners, follow Sabina at Saflin77. It's S like Sam, A-F like Frank, L-Y-N-N like Nancy, and 77. Or as I like to call her, Affleck.
Yeah, but you won't find me at Affleck.
If you want to get her attention, you just type in her Twitter name and yell Affleck, and she'll ask you what.
Yeah, really?
Oh, jeez.
But we want to thank you for joining us tonight. And I know, again, it was last minute, but we welcome you and we appreciate you. And thank you for being our sub-co-host and joining us tonight.
You're welcome, and thank you for asking and having me. I really enjoy it.
You're welcome. Have a good night.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And David is our PR guy. David's our info getter. David is what? I mean, a lot
Pub
of things. Yes. Court reporter. David is our multitasker and helper behind the scenes, and we appreciate him more than we can even say. Thank you is just not enough. And we're going to try and do this at least once a month, barring our schedules, and, you know, just have a general soap talk and talk about things. So, David, you can follow him on Twitter at Site Advocate, and it's SiteAdvocate. And give him a shout-out. Nice guy, and he'll welcome you.
Mm-hmm. Very nice.
Oh, and we'd like to thank you for joining us last minute as well.
Yes, thank you so much, David. You're such a trooper and our pal and buddy and just really good friend on top of all that. So thank you so much for just always being available to Pam and I and being here for us. We really appreciate it more than you know.
Well, thank you very much. God bless both of you.
You too,
God
David.
Bless you.
We'll see
Enjoy
you on Twitter.
Weekend. Yes, we will.
Wednesday.
Have a good night.
You too.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Yep. Good night.
Good night. Good night. And, Michelle, thank you for all your information in our chat room, all the additional remarks and information that you sent us. We thank you for supporting us and all your help that you give us all the time.
Yeah, definitely.
And tweeting out to our guests and everything that you do. And if you want to follow Michelle, she's at HotShotDiva24. Woo, baby, that sounds like a good one.
HotShotDiva24.
And I don't think I need to spell that one.
I think people heard that one loud and clear.
You're right?
Yeah.
She's a very good friend and a very nice girl, so you'd enjoy talking with her as well. So, and follow us at Take Two Radio on Twitter. Follow Dawn at Dawn Take Two Radio and give us a shout out. We'd be happy to speak with you. If you have any ideas, let us know.
And we want to say a huge thank you to our sponsor for tonight's show, Main Street Cake Shop. So look them up at mainstreetcakeshop.com. And I'm telling you, you better eat because you'll be hungry after you look. But great cakes, great cupcakes. And so please check them out. I'm sure they would appreciate it very much.
Definitely. I also want to give one more special shout out, and that's to Brenda, who's in our chat room. She's in my chat room. She's on Dawn's chat room, even if Dawn has a show right after we do.
She is diehard supporter.
Yeah, with Jam and Jukebox. She has a talk on Blog Talk with the indie artists, and she plays music and she interviews them. And Brenda's at every single show. So we love you, Brenda, and thank you for your support.
Thank you so much, Brenda, for always being here for us. We appreciate it.
Yes. And last but not least, we want to thank our listeners for joining us for every show, because without you, we wouldn't be here except to talk to ourselves.
Exactly. And we do a lot of that as it is.
I know, right?
Yeah, really. So, thank you so much for always supporting us and just being here for us. We really appreciate it, and we couldn't do it without you. And we do it for you. So thank you very much.
Yes, and Dawn, would you like to go ahead and announce who we have coming up tomorrow?
Would I like to go ahead and announce who we have coming up tomorrow? Do you really? Okay, sure.
Let me twist your arm there.
Really. Well, tomorrow we have a guest that we know has been confirmed, and he is coming. So no worries there, folks. I'll just go ahead and preface that.
Right.
You may remember this actor probably best from Baywatch back in the day. And he played the role of Cody Madison. I'm sure that's ringing bells right off the bat. But we have David Takashi. Did I say
that right? Yes, you did it.
David Takashi, and he is going to be with us. I know I say it really funny. He is going to be with us tomorrow night, 5 p.m. Eastern, and he is going to talk about his brand new show called Celebrity Diving, which is going to debut on January 9th. And do you know what network that's debuting on, Pam?
That's going to be on Fox.
Okay. Well, and it has quite a few celebrities in it, thus the name, Celebrity Diving, but Antonio, say his last name.
Sabato. I know, you're going to mess it up. Antonio Sabato Jr.
Yes, he is in it, and there's just a whole host of other people that are in the show with him, but he is going to be talking to us about that. We're very excited to have him on, and he is a QT. I might just
sit
here
and take
a while. I'm going to let you conduct the interview, and I'm going to share this picture the whole time.
And I do know that Greg Louganis is going to be one of the celebrity judges.
Yeah, and that'll be neat. So anyway, please tune in if you can. That's tomorrow night at 5 p.m. Eastern, because, you know, it's going to be cold and snowy in some places tomorrow, maybe raining. It's going to be cold, so you might as well grab a cup of coffee and tune into that. And then when, you know, you're done with listening to us here on Take Two, you can hop over to my channel at Jam and Jukebox here on Blog Talk and tune in for a couple of the best hours of indie music anywhere on the Internet. So
that's right.
Anyway, That was a shameless plug. I'm sorry. But so we have, you know, we're so excited. Like I said, we've got some great guests coming, and I'm so excited because we've got so
many
things.
Well, since
it's
the weekend, why don't you go ahead and announce who's going to be here on Sunday too?
Well, okay, you don't have to twist my arm. We have we have a guest coming Sunday at 5 p.m. Eastern. Her name is Susie Lanier Bramlett, and you may know her a couple of different ways. She is best known for starring in the original horror classic, The Hills Have Eyes, and in the role of Brenda. And she is also known for her recurring role as Bambi, John Travolta's girlfriend in the late 70s sitcom Welcome Back, Kotter. And she also originated the role of Chrissy on the popular sitcom Three's Company. So she has done quite a bit of television. She's been in quite a few movies, and she also is a singer-songwriter, and she has an album out currently called Swamp Cabaret. So she's going to drop by on Sunday at 5 p.m. Eastern, and we're going to talk to her about her career and her upcoming projects for music, and probably play a little bit of that for you, too. So stay tuned, and see you right back here.
Sounds
yeah,
good.
So it's going to be a great weekend on Take Two Radio.
Thank you. Thank you. And, of course, I have to thank you for doing all of that website work and working behind the scenes nonstop, doing things that you, or I should say working on the website and everything other than what you should be doing from 9 to 5.
You know, that's true. And, yeah, I won't even go there. I think the only time I am not working on radio stuff between your show and mine is when I'm asleep. And, and these days that has been pretty few and far between. I was off work for nearly 2 weeks, and I loved every second because I was able to, you know, just focus on what we love to do and not have to think about anything else and had to go back to work this week. So I'm not going to say any more. But, yeah,
right.
I like being able to do it, and thank you for making me a part of it. I love it, and I love you pieces. So,
thank you.
I mean, it's going to be a great, great 2013. I profess it, so.
You know it.
Yeah, it's going to be great. So, but thank you to all the listeners for being with us tonight. We're going to wrap up now and say goodnight to you all. Enjoy your weekend, and we hope that you'll be right back here tomorrow evening at 5 p.m. for David Chakovsky. I did it again. Some days I impress myself. So anyway, but yeah, I made myself, I'm telling you. But no, thank you so much, everyone, and we will see you again right back here tomorrow night.
Good night and God bless. Good night, Don.
Good night, Pam.